the soul. Now this evening, we're going to look at escaping reality when entertainment becomes an idol. And then tomorrow, we're going to finish this series up by taking a look at the dangers of the occult when fantasy becomes a spiritual gateway. Now, in these last two messages, we're going to shift our focus from the battlefield to our own backyard. And that's because some of the enemy's most effective weapons aren't that obvious. They're subtle, they're seductive, and they're even entertaining. So in these final two messages, we're going to get practical, and I'm going to get personal. We're going to talk about how Satan uses entertainment, not just to distract us, but to deceive us, to desensitize us, and to derail us from the calling that God has placed on our lives. Because, friends, if we're not careful, what we consume to escape reality can actually become the very thing that shapes it. Now, I have gotten a lot of positive feedback from you on this sermon series, and I thank you very much for that. I really do. But let's see how much positive feedback I get after these last two messages. Because I'm going to step on your toes. I'm not holding back in these last two messages. I may get fired up. I may yell. I may holler. Just go with it. You may see me start myself on fire. I'm dead serious. I'm going to get personal. I'm going to talk about the battle that many of us are losing and we don't even know it. Don't even have a clue. And when I say battle, I am talking about the battle over our time, our focus, our affections, and our minds. And that battle is not being fought with swords. It's not being fought with schemes. It's being fought with this stuff. It's being fought with screens, with Netflix, YouTube, TikTok, gaming, and endless scrolling. Friends, let me ask you a very serious question today. What are we escaping from, and what are we escaping to? Because I personally believe one of Satan's greatest strongholds is entertainment has become a substitute for spiritual life. And just don't take my word for it. Let's put it to the test. What's the first thing you do when you're all stressed out? When you're overwhelmed? When you're anxious? Or when you're lonely? Do you run to prayer or do you run to your phone? Do you run to prayer or do you run to Netflix? Do you go to the Word of God? Or do you go to YouTube and zone out for hours at a time? How many times have we said, I just need to escape for just a little while? That's Satan's trap. He's got you exactly where he wants you. Because escaping reality often becomes escaping responsibility, and ultimately, you're avoiding God. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And follow along as I read verses 19 through 21. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. I'm reading from the Legacy Standard Bible this evening. Follow along on the screen. You can use your own Bibles, whatever. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this brings us to a very, very important question. What are we truly treasuring? What are we treasuring? Are we treasuring, valuing hours spent on social media? Binge watching entire seasons of TV shows in a single weekend. Pouring hours into gaming, into streaming, into mindless scrolling, while our prayer life withers away and our Bibles gather dust. Well, I got news for you. That's just not a bad habit. That's idolatry. Let's call it what it is. Now, I know some of you are going to push back and you're going to say, oh, come on, Ken, you've lost your ever-loving mind. See, you're crazy. See, Greg's thinking it right now. This is just entertainment. Greg thinks it's funny. It's just entertainment. You've lost your mind. Well, I'm sorry. If you spend more time with your favorite shows than you do with your Savior, it's not entertainment. It's a false god, and let's call it what it is. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Look at what it says in verses 17 through 19. I can honestly say after these next two sermons, I've washed my hands. Because I'm giving it to you straight. This is not for you. This is for your kids. This is for your grandkids. It's for you. Just not you, it's for you, your grandkids, your children. And I can honestly look and have a, I can go up before God and say, you know what, I preached this and I preached it hard. And if you want to laugh about it, you don't want to take it serious, that's on you. It's not going to be on me. Because this is no joke. This is no joke. Satan is in your house. You've opened the gate. He's there. And you can smile. You don't have to take this serious. I don't care. But I'll tell you, the blood's off my hands because I'm preaching it the way it needs to be preached. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Brothers, join in following my example and look for those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even crying, as enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their stomach and glory is in their shame, who set their thoughts on earthly things. In other words, are we being ruled by our appetites? For instance, how many of us have made an idol out of comfort? Seriously, we don't want what's holy. We want what's easy. We don't want what's eternal. We want what's entertaining. Entertain me. That's all I care about. Let's be honest. There are Christians out there who can't name six of the 12 apostles, but they can name every character in the Harry Potter series. We've got young men who can sit and play video games for 8 hours straight, but they're too tired to read one chapter of Scripture. And ladies, I'm not letting you off the hook either. We've got young women who will spend hours scrolling through influencer content. I mean, mastering makeup routines and chasing the latest trends, but they can't take 5 minutes to seek God's wisdom in the Word of God. And how many people who say they're Christians go to church every night, watch TV filled with adultery, murder, profanity, blasphemy, and they justify it by saying it's good writing and it's just a funny script? Friends, the truth is we're being slowly numbed by constant overexposure to the world. And you know what Satan's doing? He's laughing. He's laughing because he doesn't even have to attack most of the people in this country. He has to work in the third world. He doesn't have to work here in the United States of America. He really doesn't. He doesn't have to work with people who have already entertained themselves into apathy. Let me give you a sobering example of what happens when a culture is desensitized by violence and entertainment. How many of you remember the Columbine High School massacre in 1999? That absolutely shocked the nation. Mass shootings don't shock the nation like that did. That was the first big one, I guess you could say. I mean, I still remember where I was when I heard that. Some of you were maybe 4 or 5 years of age. Do you know why it shocked the nation? Not because of the evil itself, that was bad enough, but because of who carried it out. Teenagers. Teenagers. But what people don't realize is that this wasn't just an isolated event. In 1999, that was a spark. That was a spark that ignited a wave of mass shootings in America that continue to this very day. And if you study the lives of those young men, you'll find something very chilling. They were addicted and obsessed with violent first-person shoot-em-up video games. They spent hours and hours simulating murder on a screen before carrying it out in real life. And that isn't a coincidence. That is what we call conditioning. And friends, the military has known this for decades. In the Vietnam War, U.S. snipers weren't just given rifles and sent out to shoot people. No, they were trained. Snipers have to be trained. Snipers have to be desensitized. Why? Because they're going to take a life. They're going to take a life. And so they are trained, and they were desensitized by repeatedly practicing shooting human targets until it felt very natural to them. Because if you want to make someone effective in war, you have to break down their natural resistance of taking a human life, of killing a person. And we are doing the same thing to our kids in our homes. Hours after hours after hours after hours of violent video games, pulling the trigger, pulling the trigger, pulling the trigger, killing that person, killing that person, killing that person. We're training their minds and hearts. We are totally desensitizing our kids to violence. It's dulling their conscience, and it's making it feel normal to kill someone. Don't tell me Satan doesn't know what he's doing. He's not just distracting people with entertainment. He's discipling them through entertainment. Hey, if the military can condition a soldier for war, what do you think hours of simulated violence is conditioning a child for? And when you think of it that way, Paul's warning in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, suddenly feels very modern. And do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, Paul is saying, how in the world can we cast off darkness if we spend all day and night being entertained by it? Now, I realize some of you might not like this teaching, and you may even be offended by it. Tough. I'm serious, tough. I'd rather offend you into holiness than comfort you into hell. Now, am I saying that you should never watch a movie? Never listen to music. Never play a stupid video game. No. But what I am trying to say is that if your entertainment is more consistent than your prayer life, you're in danger. If you spend more time in fantasy than in faith, you're spiritually starving. Do you realize that the average American spends 7 hours a day consuming media? 7 hours a day. That's almost, I'm not a math genius, but that's almost 50 hours a week. That is more than a full-time job. Now, keep that number in your mind. 50 hours a week on that junk, okay? 50 hours a week on that stuff, all right? Now, keep that in your mind when I say this. Now, compare that with the average Christian who spends less than 10 minutes a day in prayer. And you tell me who's being discipled. We've got 12-year-olds addicted to TikTok. 12-year-olds scrolling through filth, profanity, and soft porn. And what are their parents doing? I don't know. They're too glued to their own phones to even notice. We've got Christian adults binging shows like The House of Dragon, The Witcher, The Boys, Euphoria, and Sandman. Shows full of spiritual perversion, nudity, blasphemy, and literal satanic themes. And we sit there and say, it's just a show. Oh, I know it's bad, but I can separate fiction from reality. No, you can't. You can think you can, but you can't. We've got to understand something very, very important. And that is our minds are being shaped by the constant flood of information we allow in. And now I'm going to change, stop. Now I'm going to change subjects. Now I'm going to talk about social media, okay? I hit the TV hard. I hit the movies hard. Let's now talk about the information that we allow into our brains from social media. We've all heard the excuse, haven't we? It's just a tweet. Just a post. It's just a comment. Well, I'm sorry. These things are not as harmless as they seem. You know, friends, just like we can't binge watch dark, perverse TV shows without being affected, we cannot consume this 24/7 cycle of garbage, outrage, hatred, and false narratives without it leaving a mark on our heart, minds, and souls. Take, for example, the tragic events that surrounded Charlie Kirk. I'm serious. I didn't think I could be shocked anymore, okay? I'm 65 years old. I think I've lived through pretty much a lot of things. I have seen this country go down the tube, and I didn't think that we could get any worse. I really didn't. But the online hate, the cruelty, the way people dehumanize that man. It's like the world has forgotten how to have a respectful conversation and instead have replaced it with a toxic culture of outrage and personal attacks. And here's the thing, when we see this kind of language, when we hear people being attacked, not just their ideas, but them as individuals, you know what we're being taught? We're being taught to ignore people's humanity. We're being taught to treat others as villains. We're being taught to justify our hatred. And don't you dare tell me we're unaffected by this, even if what we're seeing is happening through a screen. Because, friends, the danger isn't just in the words themselves, but it's in the worldview that forms the foundation of our culture. Do you see what's happening? We're being conditioned. Social media is conditioning you to think that it is okay for you to hate someone that you disagree with. You're being conditioned to hate people. Just because you disagree with them. That it's okay to speak death over another person's life. How have we gotten here? All while calling ourselves what? A Christian. A Christian. That it's okay to cancel or destroy someone with a click or a of a button. Is that the way of Christ? When we constantly fill our minds with negativity, we start to see the world differently. The more we scroll through posts full of anger and division, the more our hearts and minds change. What's sad is we stop seeing other people made in God's image, and we start seeing them as enemies that need to be absolutely crushed, destroyed. We begin to think it's okay to dehumanize people, to cancel people, and to tear people down again, all the while we call ourselves a Christian and sit in a pew. That's not what the gospel calls us to do. Think about it. Our brains are always processing. Our brains are always processing what we hear and what we experience. And when we consume media that is filled with hate, division, and violence, whether it's political attacks, cancel culture, or even spiritual corruption, we're not just clicking or scrolling. We're letting those things deep inside of us. They're going to change us. Do you know neuroscience shows us that the brain does not know the difference between real and virtual threats? Try that one on for size. You playing video games? You may think it's a game. Your brain doesn't know it's a game. Science will tell you that. It's going to react the same to both. That's why spending so much time with harmful contact can leave us feeling anxious, angry, and spiritually numb. And that's not the peace that Christ promised us. Social media has absolutely destroyed our country. Absolutely has destroyed our country. Again, I have read this so many times, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 in this series, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. In other words, social media, the news, and the constant online anger, they try to shape us in a way of thinking that goes against God's ways. You're being trained. When you're constantly on social media and you're constantly seeing negative stuff and negative stuff and negative stuff, you know what you're being trained to do? You're being trained to focus in on your anger, to keep feeling unhappy, to stay in a place of confusion and division. But Jesus called you to live differently. Jesus called you to live in peace, truth, and love. So let's stop pretending that these things don't shape us, because they do. This stuff shapes us. Friends, if we're going to walk in the way of Christ, we have to be intentional about what we allow into our hearts. We cannot keep feeding ourselves on this culture of outrage and expect to still have peace with God. We need to start protecting our minds. We need to guard our hearts. And we need to choose instead to fill ourselves with the things that honor God. And that's, oh, you're saying amen. Wait till this part. You may not say amen after this. That's why tonight I'm challenging you to a 7-day entertainment fast. I'm throwing it out there. The gauntlet's been thrown. 7-day entertainment fast. No TV. No gaming. No Facebook. No TikTok. No scrolling. For 1 week. Now, it's up to you when you start. I don't care when you start. You can start tonight. You can start tomorrow. You can start next week. You can start next month. I'm just challenging you to do it. Is this challenge to punish you? No, this challenge is to wake you up. And during that time, you know what I want you to do instead? I want you to spend time in prayer. I want you to spend time reading the scriptures. I want you to do something really cool. Actually sit down and have a conversation with your family without a phone. How about you try that? Wouldn't that be a novel idea? We've all seen the people in restaurants, right? The entire family, 7 of them, and they're all doing what? Not even talking to each other. So, I want you to read scripture. I want you to talk to your family. Hey, how about you take a walk and talk to God? How about you journal and see what God shows you? And you tell me if you don't start to feel your spiritual sensitivity come back after a week. Some of you haven't heard the voice of God in months. And it's not because he's not speaking. It's because the volume of this world has been turned up so high. And it's not by accident. It's not by accident that we live in a very noisy, noisy, noisy world. That's a plan from Satan. Don't think it isn't. We need to wake up and realize what's really happening here. The world has shifted the frequency. How many of you grew up in like the 50s, 40s, 50s, things like that? Was it as noisy back then as it is today? No. No. The world has shifted the frequency. Our culture today is saturated with media that feeds anxiety, anger, confusion, and comparison. And this isn't just a coincidence. Guys, this is the spiritual battle. For instance, some Christians like Laura Sanger, she is a retired psychologist and she's founder of No Longer Enslaved. She says that there has been, and check her out. She's very interesting. She says that there has been a clear agenda to change the frequencies we live under, literally. She said, decades ago, music was turned to a natural harmonious frequency of 432 hertz that aligned with peace and order. But she said in the 1940s, that changed. She said, now most modern music and media are set to something called 440 hertz, which is a frequency some believe was promoted because it subtly agitates the nervous system. Now, you may believe that, you may not. To be honest with you, I'm not sure how I feel about that. But you do have to admit that beyond music, our environment is flooded with chaotic noise, EMF sounds, and digital input designed to what? Overstimulate us, exhaust us, and divide us. This isn't about content anymore. Guys, this is about control. When you are constantly living in an atmosphere of tension, confusion, and emotional unrest, guess what? You become easier to manipulate. And you become a lot harder to awake spiritually. All of a sudden, and tell me if this does not, if this isn't a good example of a lot of people in the church today. Suddenly, joy becomes very rare. People feel peace feels unreachable. And you know what the kicker is? Most people don't even realize that the environment around them has been weaponized. In a nutshell, we have traded peace for noise, joy for outrage, stillness for overstimulation, and then we wonder why we feel so far away from God. And that's the reason I'm calling for a 7-day entertainment fast. Because I truly believe some of you will come out of that media fast completely changed. You're going to realize just how much time you were giving to the enemy. Don't you think it's time to shut the door to compromise? Because, friends, what you consume is shaping your very soul. And that, my friends, is the real war. The enemy isn't just outside your home. The enemy is inside your home. I got it all here. This is how most homes look, man. I'm ready. Oh, just a minute. Oh, I'm just see how the Brewers are doing. Oh, gotta get my. I gotta play my video game. You notice there's something missing in my living room. What is missing in my living room? You don't see a Bible, do you? You see this? Oh, I gotta play one more. Where's my remote? I lost my remote. Oh, no. You laugh. You think it's a joke. I hope you don't. This is the battle. This is the battle. We've allowed Satan into our home. And I don't care if you think I'm out of my ever-loving mind. I really don't. Paul has thought that for years. He's not outside your home. He's in your home. But the good news is you don't have to stay bound. You don't have to stay numb. You can wake up, you can repent, and you can return. Friends, Jesus is not calling you to less joy. You get rid of that stuff for a week, he's not killing your joy. You know what he's doing? He's calling you to real joy with him. Not a joy of escapism, but a joy of freedom, the joy of clarity, and the joy of his presence. So let today be a day that you draw a line in the sand and say, I am not going to be entertained to spiritual death anymore. I'm going to take control of my life with the help of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Let today be the day you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and not that stuff. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts that are heavy, convicted, and humbled. Father, we confess that we have often chosen comfort over your presence, that we have often filled our minds with the noise of this world and ignored the still, small voice of your Spirit. Father, would you please forgive us? Please forgive us for the times we've escaped into entertainment instead of running to you. Forgive us for giving hours of our attention to things that do not glorify you while giving you only a minute or two, if any at all. Forgive us for numbing our pain with screens instead of healing it with your presence. So today, Father, we renounce the idols we have built, whether it's a show, a game, an app, or a lifestyle of distraction. Father, tear down every false god in our lives. Cleanse our minds. Purify our hearts. Rekindle a hunger for you, a hunger for your word, a hunger for prayer, and a hunger for holiness. Father, I can't speak for everyone here, but I don't want to be spiritually asleep anymore. So wake us up. Wake up our families. Wake up this church. May we be people who are watchful, alert, and armed, not with entertainment, but with truth, righteousness, and the Word of God. So, Father, give us the strength to fast. Give us the discipline to seek you. And give us the grace to keep walking with you after this moment. Let this be more than an emotional response. Let this be a turning point, a moment of surrender, a line in the sand. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we shut every door we've opened to the enemy through media, distraction, and spiritual laziness. And Father, we ask you to fill every place we've emptied, Jesus. Father, you are better, you are enough, and from this day forward, we choose you. And it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
As we close with our service this evening, please stand.